Accession number 31693, reel 4.
Mr. Robson, reel 4. Can we go back to breakfast? You've had your breakfast.
Yep.
What about cleaning your utensils when you're finished?
There was no washing up liquid. You just walked. It was stuff that puts some kind of crystals in the water. I must admit, the water was hot, and you used to wash them in this hot water. There was nothing to dry them with. All you did was you washed them. You washed the knife and fork and cup, and they were all in the same water. Didn't matter how many people had been in front of you, and you washed your I'm sure we never ever took. I think it was all in the cookhouse. The bowl and your plate. You washed it, put it to one side to let it drain off, and then you went back to your barrack room and got ready for the first parade, which was inspection.
And your very first one must have been quite a sight, obviously. You knew how to parade.
I was all right.
Many of the others would be.
The other lads hadn't the faintest idea. I used to feel sorry for them. Because, as I say, if they weren't right... And, of course, they knew that I was an ex-army cadet. So they put a lot of onus on me. Although I wasn't... I was the youngest one in the hut. But I had... some army experience, i.e. being in the army cadets. So it was down to me, and I had to help the rest. How to dress, how to put the uniform on, how to put the beret on, basically dressing them. And I'm talking about guys who were 20-odd-year-old, and how to dress and put all their equipment together. One of the big good things, of course, a lot of the basic army skills, like doing a leopard crawl, I used to actually teach them and show them how to do it. But eventually, a lot of the basic military skills, I was excused to do various jobs in the barrack room, helping the other guys out, because they were national servicemen, not the faintest idea. So yeah, I got off for a little bit.
Did you, by the way, whilst we're on, did you have someone in your little group that had to stay in the barrack room all day as a kind of orderly, or you were always working together anyway?
No, we all worked together. Although, if going back, they did put a guy in charge of the room. It wasn't me. They picked an older guy out, and he was in charge of the room at that time. I was only 18, so they didn't make me in charge, but I used to help him out. And of course, going back to when you were given your number.
What's your number, by the way?
23745970, and it's something you never ever forget, and you had to learn. You were given 24 hours to learn it, and it used to be funny the first time on parade to have to give out our number.
Well, this would be the roll call, was it?
Every morning, yeah.
And did they give the full number out, or the last 3 years?
No, your full number, until you became fluent in it. And after that, once you became fluent in it, you used to give your number out. I mean, like, there was two Robsons. One was a national serviceman, and our number, and mine was 970, and he was, if I remember right, he was 969.
Next to each other.
Right next to each other.
Did it cause confusion?
Quite a lot. Yeah. Yes, quite a lot. He went, again, confusion, which will come in later. He went into the Pioneer, he was a National Serviceman, he went into the Pioneer Platoon when we joined the battalion, eventually after our basic training, and I went into the Signal Platoon.
So you'd have your morning, you would line up for your morning drill, and other than what form did that take? You lined up there. What happened?
You all fell in outside the barrack room. There was three barrack rooms to a platoon, if I remember rightly. So there was quite a lot of I think we had 30, nearly 40 in our platoon, Inkerman platoon. Salamanca platoon had about the same. And what we used to do is straight after breakfast, after the room inspection, we fell in, and we used to have to do an hour's drill every morning. And I think we used to fall in at about, they used to come and inspect about 8 o'clock in the morning. So and that the first 15 minutes was the inspection. So from about quarter past 8 until about 9 o'clock, we used to do drill, the basic drill. And again, because I was ex-army cadet, invariably, I used to have to come out into the front of the platoon and show them the drills, the demonstrator.
Yeah. And was it light infantry praise from the word go?
Right from the word. Obviously, you weren't given the full drills, i.e. you come to attention, because everything used to go back to the at-ease position. It was the drill positions were really, really were basic, i.e. coming to attention, standard at ease, coming to attention, right turn, left turn, about turn. They were all very, very basic. Once they got to know the basic drill movements, then everything again was from at ease, and everything used to come back to the at ease. That was one movement.
And did they teach you to do by numbers?
Yeah. When you did a right turn, and it was. Because it wasn't until later on in the light every drill that you actually did a quick march to the right, quick march. Those that hadn't done that at that time. So to the right turn, you would come to attention, and that would be one. Turn right, two. Standard ease, three. And you would all shout it out.
So that would be different to the heavy infantry. You'd actually, your first movement would be
come to attention.
Come to attention, and that would count as part of the drill. It wasn't come to attention and then start the count.
Heavy infantry drill. When I say heavy infantry, yeah. If Northumberlands, you would come to attention, then they were given the individual right turn, and then standard ease. In the DLI, it would be right turn. It would be come to attention, turn right. Come to attention, standard ease. And all those movements would be taught individually, and then you would then it would be a full floor, i.e. come to your attention, turn right at standard ease. Again, the full light infantry drill didn't come in until years later, i.e. stepping off, which was again, which are proper light infantry drills, which they do now.
And did saluting come into that very initial element?
Once everybody got the basics of coming to attention and turning right and everything, then the next would be at the halt, would be the salute. Then there would be the salute on the march. And being taught that all movements was done on the left foot. So you would, when you would be given to the right or to the left salute, every movement of the salute would be given, would be on the left foot, never ever on the right foot. no matter what. And again, coming back in many years later, I did the original light infantry drill course, drill sergeant's course. And one of my TPs was saluting on the march with a sword for officers. That was it. That was my TP. The most difficult, I would say, drill movement in the British Army.
And is that bringing the sword up to the front of the face?
Yeah. Taking the sword out of the scabbard, on the march, with a salute. I thought, how did I get this one?
So you finish your drill.
Yeah.
At what time did you say?
Around about 9 o'clock.
What was the next piece of training in those? And again, we're in the initial stages.
The initial stages would be PE.
And you've described basically.
I've described PE. And I think we used to get two sessions a day, you know. But the funny part about it, when we first went in, and education used to come into it as well, everybody had to, and also, this is when we started to learn about the Durham Light Infantry. Then they would go into, but that was done not by the instructors. If I remember rightly, it was actually done by Army Education Corps when we did our education part.
And that was these would be the intellectual type education, math things, whatever, with the view to promotion, probably.
No. This became later. Everyone when they arrived at, they did an educational test, and I was quite fortunate in that. I didn't have to do the educational side of it. I was exempt, what they call third class education certificate, because of the results of my tests on everybody. So those who failed that test had to go in and do educational tests. Some of the guys learning how to read properly and write properly. So I was exempt that, which gave me, I think it used to be an hour. I couldn't skive. There was jobs I had to do, and jobs I was given. Help out in the stores or do other various tasks. So although I was exempt from doing the education side, I had other tasks to do. And again, that education, because I was exempt, I didn't have to do any tests to get my first tape. It was only later when you had to take your education promotion certificate, second class, to get corporal. And of course, that took me up to sergeant, and ATP advanced, which took me up to the rank of WO1.
So this would take part most of the morning, did it? This would take up most of the morning?
These
particular ones?
All these, yeah.
Did you get a morning break?
Yes, we did. 10 o'clock until half past, and again it was staggered, so you would get 10 till half past, and half past 10 till 11 was the other platoon, and then the following week it would change over on the programs. You would get that half an hour in the naffy, which I was surprised at, getting a half an hour break, because you never got a break in the afternoon. A naffy break. It was, you worked all the way through. And again, it was sports. There was everything. It was a variety of different. So you were never bored. You could never ever get. Nobody during training could ever say, "I'm bored," because you were on the go all the way through.
So what time was lunch or dinner?
Dinner was 12:30. Yes, you were marched to dinner. Doesn't matter how tired you were, you had to go for dinner. And it was always a three-course dinner.
Can you tell me what food you get?
Various soups, for starters. Then you would have dinner, and it was a dinner, and it was various meats or chops or whatever, veg. Cabbage was a bit watery, if I remember rightly, but it was always three veg on, mashed potatoes, roast potatoes, and it was always a sweet afterwards, because you had to keep your strength up because you're on the go all the time. And custard, different puddings, rice pudding, always enough. There was never short. You again, you put the other plate down and it was slopped on, but you were that hungry.
Was it well cooked? Was the cooking good?
Yes, it was, in actual fact. The veg was overcooked at times, but...
Was this Army Catering Corps or the regiment?
No, it was Army Catering Corps. There was a couple of regimental cooks, but mainly Army Catering Corps. And there was always a lot. Always. Then you would do your afternoon training. And again, depending on what the training was, I couldn't go into detail of what we had to do.
Just before we leave the dinner, did you have an officer come around to see if you...
Yes. Any complaints? Nobody ever complained. Never, ever.
What happened to the chappie who probably didn't like something, left it on his plate? Were you made to eat things or just...
No. If you didn't like it, it was your choice, you know. Then you got up and went over and put it in a swill bin, and which were given off to the local farmers who had pigs. But no, it was... there was come round and say, why aren't you eating that? And you just used to say, don't like it. But there was no recriminations over it. No. But going back to the officers that we had there, the adjutant was, I'm trying to think of his name now, can't remember his name. We had the OC in charge was Major Fleming. Major Fleming, the adjutant. Always hard, because I saw him at the reunion last year and we had a good laugh about it. I said, my distinct impression of you when we in training, you used to play hell with people who were improperly dressed, but you always had your cuff tucked up, because you used to have a button on here, and it was never ever fastened, it was always turned over. But again, he was a character.
Were there good officers then? Decent bunch?
There were, in actual fact, because the OC, he later, when I joined the battalion, it was D.R.C. Irvine, and it was Major Fleming. No,
Colonel Fleming.
It's the same man. It wasn't Colonel Fleming. It was the last CO of the DLI, who was in Borneo. It'll come to me, but he was the last CO of the DLI, and he was the DLI CO in Borneo. I can't remember his name now.
It wasn't Gil.
Yeah,
Gil. Forget the name. Gil, yeah.
Yes. Not Moran.
Yes, but no. I had met him. Gilbert, I forget the name.
Oh dear, it will come to me. Names do come to me suddenly. But yeah, he was a good OC in training, and the adjutant as well. He was quite good. As I say, later became.
Did you see much of them? Most of the time, you're working with your NCOs, didn't you?
Not a lot. After about a month, they would start coming around and doing inspections, see how you were getting on and that. And of course, at the end of the parade, or the end of the training, of course, he took the main parade and actually went on. And I met him again later on when he became CEO of the battalion. But again, that's another story.
we touched upon the afternoon after dinner, and you said was it basically held over for sport in the afternoon, or were you doing work?
Work, all training. Wednesday afternoons was sports day. We played
what
football.
What might you be doing on an afternoon shift?
Oh, do everything that you. If you. I have to try and think now what were we doing? Probably individual skills, you know, on weapon training and that went on right up until quarter to five, 5 o'clock when we used to finish. It was quarter to five.
And did you have a meal then when you finished?
Yes. Tea was. We used to finish at quarter to five, I think. Wash, depending on what we've been doing. And quarter past five was tea. Was another big meal.
What might you get for that?
It was maybe chips, egg, ham, beans, and again maybe a cake or something afterwards, and that would get us through. And of course there's always in the naffy if you were hungry
in the evening.
And you go in the naffy and have egg, chips and beans steak and kidney pie, because even though I had all these meals, we were still hungry. To put it like this, when I first joined the army, you obviously had a medical as well when you went in, and you were weighed in the gym. So you'd stand on the scales, and I remember standing on the scales, and remember I was 18 year old, I was 8 stone. I was working, my shifts were hard, sometimes I worked 12 hour days, change over on a Saturday to 12 hour, and then start on the Sunday 12 hour days.
This was at the mills.
I was 8 stone when I joined the army, and at the end of 6 weeks we were re-weighed, and I remember the guys going on the scale and we're all having a laugh. Some guys lost a lot of weight. I went on the scales and I was 9 stone in the first 6 weeks.
That would be muscular, I would think, increase with the physical work you're doing.
Yeah. 9 stone weight, and I couldn't believe it, because I put on that weight and the muscle, because I wasn't underweight anyway, but I just couldn't believe it. I put that much weight on in 6 weeks, and yet it was muscular. Again, regular exercise, regular meals.
On an evening, what would you do? Again, within the initial period before you allowed out.
We would have our noses stuck in pamphlets, looking at what we're doing the next day, doing our equipment. And the guy in charge of the barrack room at that time, I mean, you couldn't just say, well, I'm away to the naffy now. Every task used to have to be done, and I don't think we were allowed in the naffy until about 8 o'clock at night. And the bar in the naffy used to be closed at 10 o'clock because that was the licensing laws at that time. So
was this, as you mentioned before, was this when you had your first taste of beer, or does that lie in the future?
I think I had a before, just before I joined up. Did I have a beer? I can't remember now. I was 18. I don't think I went in a pub. I went in a pub when I used to play football, because that's where we used to get changing. But I don't think I used to drink until I left and I went in. Went in the army because I was playing football in that. Not only that, but if I wasn't doing the 12-hour shifts, I used to do what they call a 6 till 2, 2 till 10, 10 till 6. There wasn't much time for socialising.
Was there much rivalry between the various platoons?
Oh,
sections?
Immense rivalry. Immense rivalry between the two, the sergeants and the NCOs, because there was champion platoon at the end of the training, after the 3 month basic training. During the training as well, we actually did a couple of night exercises against each platoon, and we actually went to Whitburn Rangers to do our rifle firing, because the guy I met up with in my training, we were allowed out on a night, and I took him home to meet my mother in Ryup, and then again we were in uniform because we weren't allowed out, and then took him home to Ryup on the bus, and then we would go back into Sunderland for our night out. And then, because again, we had to be back in barracks at Whitburn, 10 o'clock, sober. And always remember, you would go in of night out, even during our training, after our initial training, we were allowed out. And you would give your number, rank, name, and platoon to prove that you were sober. And then it would be marked in the book. Sober and properly dressed, and you would also be given a number of what when you went out, and you had to actually remember that when you came in and give the number in the actual book and outbook.